This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, we've been taking you inside the game with a technical study group, analysing every match in Qatar. And now the tournament has entered the last 16, things are getting exciting. The final whistle has blown between Morocco and Spain, so let's get back in the car and hear what our experts have to say.
Welcome back and good evening, everyone. We just left Education City Stadium, where we witnessed a very close and intense game between Spain and Morocco. My name is Arnie Barres. I'm joined by Farid Mondragon, Alberto Zaccaroni, Sunday Olise, and our football performance analyst, Harry Lowe. Alberto, I would like to start with you. As expected, Spain dominated possession, but they created very few chances. Why was that?
Spagna ha fatto il suo solito gioco.
Well, Spain played its natural game, which was to try to hold on to possession, and they did it all, but with very little success to victory. Well, they were not dominant enough to the point that when they lost the ball, when they went offensive, they could not win it back high enough into the pitch, and that was how the game went for them.
Secondo me ha fatto anche poco gioco sulle fascie, i movimenti.
Going on the wings, they never tried to play it in a way whereby the fullbacks could overlap through the other man to come into the offensive points and cause damage, and that was not productive for them.
Ha giocato sempre corto.
They played very short passes and rarely did they try to find the vertical long balls.
Sono diventati un pochino più pericolosi.
They became a little bit more dangerous with the introduction of Morata into the game.
Morocco ha giocato molto corto.
Well, Morocco played the tight form of play, and for a player like Morocco, like Morata, is important in such a game.
E la qualità della
Spain, the quality in the team is bigger than that of is much more than that of Morocco, but in this game it was not evident.
Se togliamo la partita con Costa Rica,
if we take away the game against Costa Rica, Spain struggled in every game they played for, going towards being dangerous.
Questo perché la difesa avversaria.
This is because the defensive block that they were facing had time to assemble.
Pochi uno contro.
Well, they only four 1v1s, and the scoring chances they got were more from errors from Morocco.
So essentially a lot of possession in the middle of the park without creating any or very little danger. Is that reflected in the data, Harry?
Well, Spain finished the game with only two attempts on target out of the 14 that they were able to total during the match. Linked to Alberto's comment about the low block that Morocco put out and what Spain encountered. So Morocco spent 40% of their out of possession phase in low block, 37% in mid block. And interestingly, for Spain, that was 24% of their out-of-possession phase was spent in defensive transition. So, and that was the highest from out of all of their defending phases. Another interesting one that we look at is team length. And this is the distance between the last player in the defensive line and the highest player in the attacking line. For Morocco, when the ball was in the middle third, so when Spain were in possession in the middle third of the pitch, this averaged 19 metres. And the average in the tournament so far is 28. So it just goes to show how compact they were when the ball was in the middle and when Spain were in possession.
Thank you, Harry. And you already talked about Morocco, because Sunday, I think this is the team that we really need to talk about tonight. I mean, they were impressive. They were impressively organized. They were impressive physically and in the end also mentally. What impressed you most about them?
I will have to disagree with your reasoning, because from what I saw a Moroccan team that came out to play with barely a total different intelligence that was to like fake the opposition into doing what they wanted. And what I saw was a team that came out with a 4-1-4-1 system, and they were very, very compact in just 15 meters from the back man to the front one. And what they did was they played that system because what they wanted was to have total control of the whole pitch, that they could control the whole breadth and they could control also the vertical balls coming in. They were able to do it in that way, and that made it possible for them to control and limit the entrances into the behind the line from the Spanish team. And they were very smart in the fact that tactically they decided where and when they wanted to attack, and they tried to alienate their left offensive player to be the one that did most of the attacking, and the change of play was heading up back towards the edge. So they started with dragging the Spanish to the left side with the intention of going back to the right side. I have rarely seen a Moroccan team this disciplined tactically and with very good intelligence going forward. It was a very, very well-constructed performance by them in the sense that they made sure that the Spanish played what they wanted. They let the Spanish have the ball because they didn't want to go into the fighting of the possession with them. But they were very, very... In fact, the person that impressed me the most in this game was the coach, and Amrabat, because the way the coach set his team on the pitch of play was so well tactically done that it was tight, it was wide, and they played on the strengths of his players. If they had a very good striker today, this game would have been over before 90 minutes. And that's what I saw.
And Alberto, you wanted to add something?
Sì, voglio aggiungere che
Spain played a 4-3-3 system wide and they tried to dominate the game, but the problem with them was that they tried to play their style, but it was too slow. It was too slow, and that was why they struggled. And what I personally see was that even though I totally agree with Alberto as regards this, but I think we should also give credit to the Spanish, who seem to have learned from the game they saw the Spanish play against the Japanese. Because they played, when I did the Japanese game, I noticed it was also very, very tight from the Japanese. And the Moroccans did that, but in a better way, because they had taller players to exploit the physicality of the game.
So Farid, after a long and very intense 90 minutes, the game had to be decided by penalties. Obviously a very big moment for both goalkeepers. What is going on in the minds of a goalkeeper and how does he prepare for that?
It's the only situation in football where the goalkeeper has an advantage towards the shooter. Let me just mention only slightly that Bono and Unai Simon during the 120 minutes were very, very calm, under pressure, playing the ball with their feet, delivering correctly. I think this is something that we have to mention. And the way that they were supporting their defense, playing high, I think that this was an excellent example. And after the shootouts, as I mentioned, it's the only situation when goalies had advantage against the shooters. For Spain, historically, this has been a nightmare, the penalty shootouts. And I think they showed today that they have this karma and they have this heavy weight on top of their shoulders. Basically, the tactic or the technique that Bono applied was faking to the same side that he chose to dive and to stop two of the three penalties that they took against him. It's massive, massive, massive. From Unai Simon, I think the one he stopped also, he decided well. The other PKs were very well taken, and as you have to take a PK in a penalty shootout with determination, with pace, strong, and obviously the one from Hakimi, it remembers me from Abreu in 2010, Uruguay against Ghana. No goalkeeper is going to stand in the middle. No goalkeeper is going to wait for the ball. You're going to dive and try to get the ball, determine it. And you have to have guts and a lot of character and experience to take a penalty like this. So Bono, I think he made a complete game, saving, playing with his feet, communicating, supporting his defense, and in penalty shootout he was decisive.
And Alberto, can I just ask you, can you prepare your players for a shootout?
Sicuramente in questa fase del
Well, it's something you can prepare, but it's mostly players who are used to playing it during the league and the games that are asked to play it, so it's something you can prepare.
Thank you, guys. Great insights. After a long and intense match, we have to say goodbye to Spain, while Morocco will face either Portugal or Switzerland in the next round. From myself, Farid, Alberto, Sunday, and Harry, thank you for listening. We wish you a very nice evening.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.